This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
A half truth is a whole lie, all right? And then we all of a sudden we add colors to it. White lie. What is it? Really? It's still a lie. It doesn't matter what color it is. And we try to dilute the action, you know. And so we need to be honest. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. It says, "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." Okay, one another.
Today, Pastor Eddie will be challenging you to confess your sin to the Lord and be honest with what sin truly is. Sin is what caused Jesus to go to the cross. Don't think of sin as some menial thing. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Don't allow the enemy to get you caught up and weighed down in a sinful lifestyle. God wants to use you to do great things for His kingdom, but you limit how He can use you if you're not repenting. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, as he begins his message, The Chosen Stone and His Chosen People.
Therefore, lay aside or take off malice. Malice. Malice is harboring evil thoughts, evil intentions, evil action towards one another. And, you know, we need to, if we're harboring any of that malice within us, it needs to be removed. You need to take that off because that's what is going to separate us. Number one, it's not holy. And number one, it is a sin. And if you're harboring evil thoughts to one another, take it. Every thought captive, we study that, right? Paul tells in Corinthians, take every thought captive unto the word of God. Don't think about these things. You be holy, your mind should be holy as well. And so we're working on, let this malice, put it aside. In fact, we're to do opposite. We're to love one another. And that a lot goes with loving one another, caring for another, encouraging one another. Paul writes to the church of Philippi, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So we're to encourage each other better than ourselves. So it's not putting yourself above, but encouraging others. So that let's do the opposite. Let us take that away, take up all malice, and now let us esteem, let's encourage, let us love one another. The second thing, sin, we are to lay aside or take off is deceit. That is cunning or dishonest. Deceit includes lies, okay? Lies. Who's the father of lies? Satan. We follow the Father God, Abba Father. He is holy, and we are not to lie. And I know it's one of those difficult things, but we need to call it for what it is. A lie is a lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. All right? And then we all of a sudden we add colors to it. White lie. What is it? Really? It's still a lie. It doesn't matter what color it is. And we try to dilute the action, you know? And so we need to be honest. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. It says, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Okay? One another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Paul writes this, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're members of one another. We need to speak truth, not lie to one another or deceive one another. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes this, do not lie to one another, since you have put off. That's that Greek word, put off, lay aside, take off. The old man, your old self, with his deeds, and have put on the new man. We're born again. We have a new life. We're new creation in Christ, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so let's put that aside. Let's also put aside or take off, number three, hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy, the Greek word is hypocrisy, which is used in ancient times when they had these shows, when they would do acting on a stage and during the fourth century. What they would do is they would take a, you know, like a mask with a happy face, and then they'll switch it to a mask with that's angry or sad. And so that's what the Greek word comes from. It comes from an actor putting on a show. He is acting out one thing on the inside. He's being one thing on the inside by acting another thing on the outside. And so we need to avoid hypocrisy. That's one of the biggest things that Christ had really addressed the religious leaders in his day, is hypocrisy. And you know what? This is why a lot of people, but you know, they don't understand Christians. Those who are not Christian, they say, I don't want to be a Christian because there's a lot of hypocrites, right? And we could all agree, that's true. But on the other side, we need help. That's why we're in church. That's why we come to church. You know, I remember when I was a kid, there was this Christian bumper sticker back in the day, 70s and 80s, and it would say, be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And that is true for every single one of us. He who began a good work in you will complete it when? Until the day of Christ. So you're always being renewed day by day, and all the old self is being stripped away. Christ is making us more and more like him. And when does it stop? When you stand before him in glory. So as long as you're alive here, we need help. So they start thinking that Christians think that we're better. No, we're not better. We're better off because we have Christ, but we do still need Jesus. That's why we come here. That's why those who are sick, they go to the hospital. Those who want to be healthy, they go to the gym. Okay? And so we do need help. But there's a lot of hypocrites. But you know, when you know who you are inside, don't try to portray to be someone outside. For example, you might be different here when we gather together, right? But are you the same believer in Christ when you're not here, when you're at home, when you're at work? Can your coworkers say that that person is a Christian? Or would they say, does he go to church? He's a Christian? I didn't know that. That's a hypocrite. Now, we can't be hypocrites. We must avoid that. Jesus always went after religious leaders because they tried to portray themselves to be holy, but meanwhile, they were dead bones and they stank on the inside. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 28. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and are all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That should not be us, okay? That should not be believers in Christ, especially to one another. Avoid and lay aside, take off hypocrisy. The next thing we're to lay aside, number four, is envy. Envy is the next thing we're to take off. And that is to have resentment towards the success or the possessions of others, where you have jealous feelings and your ambitious actions to harm them, harm others. We shouldn't envy one another. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 30, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, it says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. And so James tells us in James chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't lie against the truth of the word of God. It calls it for what it is. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and it is demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. We need to take off all the envy. Last, but the big one, is lay aside or take off all evil speaking. Evil speaking or slandering, abusive words or spoken falsely about a person to damage that person's reputation. And includes gossip. It includes cynical comments, exaggerated sarcasm towards another person. And we need to be careful. That shouldn't be in our hearts. That shouldn't be how we talk about others. It's an evil thing that a Christian would use the very mouth that they use to just to worship God. When we sing to God and when we pray to God, we're using the same mouth, the same tongue to slander others or have evil speaking against other people. It's a shame, especially in the house of God. Now, you know, when you're in the house of God, we're gathered quite often together, and it's a great number of us. And we need to be careful, you know, that we don't slander or talk evil about someone, especially in the house of God. Enemy wants to divide. And that's big. And we need to avoid it as much as we can. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this: let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. To the hearers, those that are listening, you're just as guilty, even though you don't say a word. James chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. We can tame beasts. We could tame ships that are worth tons. The biggest animal on the planet can be tamed by a man. But the small tongue in the mouth, we can't. With it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. They're made out of the image of God. Every person that you lay your eyes on, created out of the image of God. And we need to be careful on how we use our tongue. Evil speaking, it shouldn't come out of our mouth. People should leave you every time. So, you know, every time I leave this brother or sister in Christ, I feel encouraged. I feel blessed. Instead of, you know, that's not a Christian. He goes on to say in James chapter 4, verse 11, do not speak evil of no one, of one another. Do not speak evil of one another. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus says this: but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, no reason, shall be in danger of the judgment. Have you ever thought, you know, you don't like somebody because your friend don't like that person? That happens a lot. You may not even know. Subconsciously, your friend doesn't like somebody, so you too don't like them. And you never met the person. Or you never had a relationship with the person. Your friend could be the problem, by the way. You know, and it happens. It happens. It happens with even spouses. If the wife don't like somebody, the husband, oh, really, I don't like her neither. You know? Or vice versa. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Don't be peer pressured by anybody. First of all, the person I'm talking about that person, even if it's your spouse, say, you know what, honey, dear, my love, my life, let us pray about it. Love that person. That's the right thing a godly husband or godly wife would do. Why you don't like that? Oh, I don't know. She looked at me like this. Oh, every time I say hi to her, she doesn't say hi to me. Really? Love them. But he said, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. That's serious. This is Christ, by the way, is in red letters in your Bible. And whoever says to his brother, raka, that's the Greek word for moron. Yes, if you say moron, listen, I know some of you, the way you drive, or the way people cut you, somebody cut you off, listen, I'm from New York. I said it a lot, so I repent, okay? But when people cut you, what a moron, you know? Raka, don't even use the Greek word, because either in the Greek or in English, it's still a sin, okay? Don't say raka, don't say moron. Which means empty-headed, okay? And whoever says to his brother, raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell and fire. So be careful where you say to other people. Be careful, evil speaking. Avoid it. Avoid it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, 37, Jesus said, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by it your words you will be justified, and by it your words will be condemned. Jesus said, remember the Pharisees at one time, they looked at the disciples, they were eating with unclean hands. There's some kind of ritual of eating food, so they have to wash their hands, wash it again. So some kind of ritual, okay, just to eat. Now, you know, I'm hungry, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm not going to wash my hands, okay? Don't invite me to your house. Just kidding. No, I do. But anyhow, sometimes they don't. Just give me a wrap of paper and I'll just eat it. I've worked with my hands in, you know, construction, whatever. But anyhow, they were legalistic about it. And they said, how can you eat with dirty hands? Jesus said, not what goes in a man that devours him. And that goes in man that makes him unclean. It's not what goes in your mouth that makes you unclean and what comes out of your mouth. And you get real legalistic when you have these dietary laws, you know, you can't eat this, you can't eat pork. You're not supposed to eat pork. Well, give it to me, I'll eat it for you. You know, you can't eat certain foods. It's not what goes in a man, but what comes out of the mouth of the man. You know, the tongue can destroy a life. The tongue can destroy people. And be careful. Be careful. Now, even if you're on the receiving end, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, somebody starts talking negative about anybody, you say, wait a minute, I don't want my ears that belong to God to listen to it. Because you say, well, I'm not saying anything. I let them talk. What happened? Really? Really? Oh, really? Can you repeat that? Really? And so you're just as bad. Just as bad because you're allowing it, you're entertaining it, and you're not bringing corrections. Your brother, sister in Christ is talking about somebody. As a matter of fact, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, the high priest, they would take the blood and oil, they would put it on the earlobe, the thumb, and on the toe. Because the ear, they have to, is to be holy. It's the same thing. We always say, oh, I don't want to see that. That's not holy. But there's also another part of your head that you need to protect. You know, people get legalistic about secular music. As long as it's not perverted, I don't really listen too much to it. But, you know, I listen to everything, to be honest. But if it's perverted and if it blasphemes God, I don't want to listen to it. That's why I like the old stuff. I listen to 40s and 50s. I do. I'm sorry. That's who I am. I'm an old man in a young body. I'm 20. No, it's okay. I'm 50. But, you know, I like Nat King Cole. He mellows me out, period. And then jazz, you know. I listen to it. But I listen to all kinds of music. I have a heavy metal background. I used to listen to metal. But anyway, the point of what I'm saying is, in the same way, when if I was to watch TV and Christ is right next to me and it's filth on the TV, would I watch what I'm watching if Christ is next to me when Christ is really in you? In the same way, would I be listening to music that offends God, that's perverted? If Christ is with me, be careful. So in the same way, those who use their tongue in evil speaking, cast it off. The ones that are listening, be careful. And so we must lay aside and take off these five sins, okay? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking so that we can have unity. We're in this construction site with Christ. We're building the house of God. We are building blocks. We're going to be living stones. We're going to see that. And we're going to be with the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And so we need unity. All this sin, we must, in the house of God, we need to separate it. Okay, look at verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, Peter, he is not referring to new believers here. He is speaking to all believers, regardless if you just surrender your life and been born again an hour ago or 50 years ago. He is speaking to all believers in Christ. And what he is saying that we are to desire the pure milk of the word of God. We are to desire the word of God as a child would cry and crave for milk. That's how it should be. It should be our desire. This should be number one in your life. Number one. Yesterday, I had the honor of just teaching in Calvary Chapel Grace Fellowship in Tuxedo. They have a school of ministry. And my topic was the word of God. You don't get me wrong. I have nothing against electronics, but I don't want to read the word of God and get a text from my doctor's appointment to remind me that I have an appointment. You know what I mean? Or others. You know, this should be separated. It should. This should be personal where you could just highlight, you know, and you could, you don't have no distraction. And this, you know, I'm not being legalistic, really. And if you are, I just encourage you, get a Bible that you make it personal. You make it personal. You write your little notes. You highlight certain things. So when you get by, you say, why did I highlight this? Let me read it. I don't remember what it is. And guess what? God blesses you. And now you get on your phone, you get distracted. You will get distracted. There's nothing like having a Bible. So we need to have this. This is the pure milk of the word of God. And there's plenty of it. It's inexhaustible. It's alive. The Bible is alive, is inexhaustible. You could be 10 years, 20, 30, 50 years. You could be a scholar, even a commentator. And they will tell you, I just barely scratched the surface of the scriptures. It's inexhaustible. And so there's plenty of milk, okay? There's plenty of milk. And the reason why I say that, because in the mid-80s to the early 90s, there was a shortage of milk cells. And so in 1993, an advertising company came up with the most famous advertising slogan that you could ever think of. And you know what it is, got milk, right? Got milk. That was in 1993. And they would get celebrities with the mustache, you know, kind of milk mustache thing. And so because nobody wanted to have milk. And I say the same thing for the church. Nobody wants the pure milk of God. Nobody wants the pure milk of God. They want their ears tickle. They want a 5-point, you know, 10 steps to a better you book. And they're not really studying the word of God. And so what they do is, give me the sermonettes, 15 minutes, like a drive-by. I'm like, where are you going to do? It's a drive-by. I don't have to get out of my car. It's in my pajamas. It's like 15 minutes. Just listen to a sermon. And there was something like that. I don't know if it's still out there. So there was a church that had a drive-by sermon. You know, they always come with all these methods and all these gimmicks just to get people to come through when nobody's really learning the Bible. It's just entertainment. And, you know, they all have all kinds of methods, but nobody's growing. We need to desire it. Listen, you need to desire. Here's the question. Are you desiring the Word of God? Have you ever found yourself, well, you know what? Man, I want to do something. Oh, I'm going to go shooting. Oh, I'm going to go this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go golfing. You know? Oh, I just feel like I want to go run and jog and go biking, go mountain. But do you ever have a desire for the Word of God? Check yourself. We need a desire. When you have a strong desire for the Word of God, listen, you are spiritually healthy. You're spiritually healthy. You're physically healthy because you get hungry, right? You eat 3 times a day, don't you? Sometimes me, 4, 5. Okay? We eat 3 times a day. Miss a meal. See how your body reacts. You know, there's no such thing, no corpse. I never heard a funeral a guy say, hey, listen, could somebody feed the guy in the casket? He's hungry. He's dead. He's not going to be hungry. In the same way, to know that you're spiritually healthy, you need a hunger for the Word of God, for the pure milk of the Word of God. Listen, you're not going to grow by going to church. Because you go to church, and all they're going to do is just give you all kinds of programs and a motivational 20-minute, 30-minute teaching, but they're not going to teach you the Word of God. I fear God that I have to, you know, be a pastor of a church. I know I love the Lord and I love people, but I know that I need to teach this. I have to feed. In the same way you have fed your children healthy foods, in the same way God wants you to be fed healthy so you can know the Bible. Not have some motivational speaking, you know, teaching, whatever, and use films and movies and all these little illustrations and have the, you know, the stage set up with all kinds of props. It's sad. We need to be teaching the Word of God that you may grow thereby. And so that's the only way you're going to grow in the Lord is by this. How do we know a baby's alive? It's going to cry for milk. How do you know you're alive, you're spiritually healthy and alive? You're going to cry for the things of God. Verse 3, he said, if indeed you have tasted, the Lord is precious. Yes, we have. We partake of the Word of God. We study the Word of God. What Peter's doing here, he is drawing out from Psalm 34, verse 8. And that's what it says. In Psalm 34, verse 8, the psalmist writes this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
You've just been listening to a great teaching with Pastor Eddie on running the race. I can just imagine the conversation between the Christians and Peter being something similar to an "Are you kidding me?" moment? And understandably so. These people were facing unfair hardships under an oppressive ruler. But Peter was encouraging them to buckle up and bear it, because people were watching. Some of their retorts to Peter could have been something like, "I should do what? And did you just see how Nero treated my friend?" For them and us, living a changed life is not repaying evil for evil. It's allowing God to work. This is the way to show others God's love. Setting aside what you want to do and picking up the way Jesus will have more impact than you'll ever know. Think about your reaction when a wrong is done to you. Are you portraying an accurate picture of Jesus? We hope this message encourages and challenges your heart and feet to action. Now, here's Jessica with an invitation just for you. Jessica?
We'd love to have you come join us at Calvary Chapel of Milford. We're conveniently located off Interstate 84 and Route 6. For service times and all the information you need, visit runningtheraceradio.com and click on the Back to Homepage button. While you're there, you can listen to this teaching again or explore more messages from Pastor Eddie. Again, that website is runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica, and thank you for listening today. Be sure to come back for more on Running the Race.